The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Listen to the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge and arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Do you know why Alfred Nobel created the Nobel Peace Prize? I'm sure many of you have heard about it, and sometimes it's good to be reminded. Alfred Nobel grew up in a very poor family, but he became extremely rich after inventing the dynamite. Very powerful dynamites for the time being. In 1888, his brother Ludwig Nobel passed away, who was basically an oil merchant. But he died in France. But a French reporter mistaken himself as Alfred Nobel and wrote in the newspaper, "The merchant of death is dead." Even though the paper corrected the reporting immediately, Alfred Nobel was extremely disturbed by the announcement because he realized that if he did die, it would have been his own obituary. He would have gone down in history as the merchant of death. It was an awakening moment for him. In order to save his reputation for the rest of his life or for the future, he decided to rewrite his will and establish the foundation for the Nobel Peace Prize. Sometimes a piece of fake news can wake a person from their sleep. Just imagine how many people are asleep throughout their lives without the opportunity to be awakened. Yeah, we tend to fall asleep when we are well fed, right? That's why Jesus warned against wealth, which is like a feast of fattening food that can make us fall asleep into self-absorption. In the scripture lesson from Luke 12, 13 to 21, Jesus warned us against the sleepy life, or a life lack of consciousness. It begins with someone in the crowd saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Right before this, Jesus was teaching an important lesson about the Holy Spirit, which is equivalent to the heavenly inheritance. But this man cares only about his earthly inheritance. So Jesus answered him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." The word take care in here literally means watch out in our terms today. Watch out. It was a warning. And then he says, be on your guard. It's also a very stern warning against the danger of greed. And the word greed is translated from the Greek word pleonexia, which means desiring more. And it also means self-absorbed or self-centered. He's obviously self-absorbed in this, since he asks a question that is totally opposite to what Jesus was teaching. It went over his head. Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, which leads to a harmonious relationship with the Creator and the creatures. But he cares only about himself. The fact that he wants his brother to divide the family inheritance with him also tells something about him. A family inheritance is for the family to stay together. In the ancient times, parents would leave an inheritance to each individual child, as well as a family inheritance to keep them united. For example, in addition to giving them individual gifts, and they might give them a large piece of land or business that require them to work together so that they will be united. That's what the parents wanted to see through the family inheritance. So this man must have received his own individual inheritance, and now he wanted more by asking his brother to divide the family inheritance. Thus, the word greed is used because it means desiring more. Secondly, the purpose of the family inheritance is so that the brothers will stay together in unity. That means he didn't want to fulfill the wish of his parents to work in unity with his brother to take care of the heritage. He wanted separation. He was self-absorbed. So in short, this request reveals that he fits both definitions of greed, desiring more and self-absorption. So Jesus said, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possession. What does it mean in here? It means possessions are not attached with life. It's detached from life. You didn't bring it when you were born. You can take it with you when you die. Have you ever seen a hearse towing a U-Haul? Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. On the surface, this man was, you can say, blessed because his land produced abundantly. Most people would say that he has made good, and that's a great blessing. However, it turned out to be a curse because of the way he handled it. Instead of thinking about others, and he just thought about himself, he became self-absorbed. He decided to build a fortress around himself so that he could ignore the rest of the world around him and just relax, eat, drink, and be merry. There's a similar parable that we all are familiar with called The Rich Man and Lazarus, told by Jesus at another time. The rich man was totally self-absorbed in his fine linen dresses and luxurious living. But he was totally oblivious about the beggar named Lazarus in front of his gate, waiting to eat his leftovers. This rich man is building a life like that, to be totally intoxicated in his own abundance, to be consumed by his own consumables, and to be possessed by his possessions. The Bible is not against wealth, but against the danger of the intoxication of wealth. Maybe that's why Jesus talked more about money than any other subject in the Bible. Now, this is how God responded to the rich man's self-absorption. You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The word fool here is translated from the Greek word ephron, which not only means being foolish, but also in a similar way, like the word greed, being sub-absorbed. A person is so sub-absorbed that he's not thinking right. He's not thinking about other people. So it becomes foolish, and it also means arrogance. The foolishness here is his failing to recognize that life is short and there is more to life than just relax, eat, drink, and be merry. A wise person is aware of the life beyond the current life, known as the eternal life. One of the famous prayers in the wisdom literature is the prayer of Agur, recorded in the Proverbs. It says, two things I ask of you, asking God, do not deny them to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or I shall be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The wise man, Agur, is aware of the danger of wealth, and he's worried about denying God if he's too rich. End up saying, who is the Lord? And he also recognized that the other way around is also dangerous. Being poor can make us commit crimes and profane the name of God. Jesus concluded this conversation by saying, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Being rich toward God is more important than being rich toward self. So how to be rich toward God? In the following passage, Jesus gave a detailed explanation of what it means to be rich toward God. And he says, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, this passage provides two requirements to be rich toward God. First, we must seek God's kingdom. Seeking God's kingdom basically means to love God. Attending a worship service is to express our love to God, and God knows our needs, and it will be provided to you. And the second, we must give to the needy. Giving to the needy is to love people. Loving God and loving people make us whole. Jesus said, giving to the needy is equivalent to putting treasure in heaven. That's how you become rich toward God. Both requirements are about being in harmony with God and with people instead of being self-absorbed, thinking about me, me, me all the time, which is the idolatry of life. And Jesus said, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? Life can become an idol when we become too absorbed in life. The way to prevent the idolatry of life is to worship with the fellow believers regularly. I know that the sacrificing your Sunday morning or any other time for worship is like giving your life away, because time is precious to this busy generation. Especially you know, when the weather is good, you'd rather be at the beaches, right? However, wasting time with God will end up saving time, because He is the God of time. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. So let us be wise and not to let our life become an idol. Let us find life by giving life to Him. Let us find time by giving time to Him. May God bless all of you. Amen.